Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor in the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app, Apple Podcasts. If you are Android, we recommend you use the Five Reasons YouTube channel or Spotify. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's where you can communicate with us and others all day long. This is where the real Heat fans are at. You don't want to stay on Twitter all day long. And again, you get tweets from the same five people. We've got more than 500 people in this community, and we've been doing a lot of really cool draft stuff on the draft channel. So check that out. Again, Off the Floor is $2.99 per month. Once you get on there, you won't get off of it. So check it out. Link is right here in the description on the podcast feed and on the YouTube channel. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. That includes Water Cleanup, Michael Robert and their team. If you've got a leak in your place of business or in your home, reach out to them right away. It's better to get the preventative maintenance before anything happens. If it does happen, they, of course, can do the damage assessment. They'll work with the insurance companies. Everything that you need. Water Cleanup of Florida is your one-stop water and mold cleanup shop. They service Boca all the way down to the Keys. So check them out. Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. That's WCUFL.com. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck to say, you in trouble, y'all. Check the floor plan, got a all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And pat we trust, it's about to have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick on Five Reasons Sports. I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. So, this is part two of a two-part episode. I don't know what happened to Alex. Maybe he just didn't want to hold the organization accountable. It's just me and Greg today. And let's review, because in the last episode, if you haven't heard it, the three of us, again, I don't know where Alex is, nominated the best decisions of the Jimmy Butler build. And we got it. We whittled it down to, what, 10, 11, something like that. And this is how it turned out. The number one best decision, extending Eric Spoelstra. The number two best decision was trading for Jay Crowder and Andre Iguodala at the deadline of the COVID year, well, prior to COVID, before Rudy Gobert ended the NBA. Then the third best decision was drafting Jaime Jaquez. The fourth best decision was keeping Goran Dragic in the Jimmy Butler trade, even though I would have thrown that one out because I don't think that was initially their intention. And it happened simultaneously to Jimmy Butler coming in, but whatever, okay? I mean, to me, if we're going to say that, we should have said getting rid of Hassan Whiteside, but because that was all part of the same transaction, but whatever. And then number five was my nomination, one of my nominations, which was not trading for Bradley Beal and that onerous no-trade clause. So now we're going the other direction here, and we're going to pick the five worst decisions of the Jimmy Butler build, and I actually think that this is harder. And I know some Heat fans who are down on the front office are not going to agree with that, Greg. But, like, we don't have quite the same list that we did before. But we're going to give it a shot anyway.
We are. And I'll start with the obvious one. Everyone can just I think that this is the easiest of all, and that is drafting Precious Achiuwa over Tyrese Maxey. If we're going to start with the things in the Jimmy Butler era that you wish a decision had gone a different way, that is it. because Tyrese Maxey would have completely changed the trajectory of what's happening right now. So that we'll let that start the bidding here in terms of the ones that we've come up with.
Yeah, that's a definite nominee. I mean, this is like Al Pacino's in a movie. He's nominated. That's how I would look at this. Doesn't mean he's going to win, but he's nominated. We'll get into the specifics of that. And we're actually going to do a full episode on that, by the way, because we're going to review some of these recent drafts. All right, I'll do another one here. And I it's taken me a while to come to this one, so I'm not going to say that I would hit it right away. But the aversion to size, I think, and you had this on an opening list, and I just think that it's unavoidable at this point that this team has just not gotten enough functional size over the years of the Jimmy build. And I think that has led to some of the wear and tear. There's no way to say that specifically. You can't identify it, but it just seems natural that if you have guys who are having to play up in positions most of the time, that it's going to affect them in some way. And I just think that, and this is, again, this is one place where maybe I'm not totally aligned with Eric Spoelstra, which I usually am 99% of the time, but we know that it's, I think if Pat Riley had his way, there would be more overall size on the roster. But Eric doesn't use a lot of it. And then when they have brought in some guys, they haven't really worked maybe the way that you'd hoped, or, you know, they've maximized what they can get from them. Like, they got Dwayne Dedman off the couch, they got Zeller off the couch. You know, Thomas Bryant was a player who didn't really play for Denver, during their championship run when it mattered. You know, so it's like, okay, they've tried in some areas, but as we talked about in the last episode, they really just have gotten Kevin Love. And he's been one of their better decisions. But I will just say that the overall aversion to size on this roster, I think, has affected. It does not necessarily mean that Bam needs to play the four, but I just think that they need more size on the roster. And I think that would have helped as they've gone deeper. Okay, so that's one of my nominees. Go ahead.
I agree wholeheartedly that the size is a big one. Just Nico potentially being the four next to Bam at least gives a little bit of light to that scenario if you think that that's the long-term fit there, but you're dead on that they have not addressed size overall. I'm going to go with bringing this exact same team back after the Dame saga. Everyone was in trade talks. Everyone knew they were in trade talks. They brought the same team back. I know that there were reasons why that took place, but that was one where I felt like this team was stale. They then played kind of like that. And so that's the one that I'm going to lean into here. I think that after the Dame trade talks, I know that I'm not giving them enough grace probably because there wasn't much to do after that. But that entire scenario just it reeked of a missed opportunity. And so I'm going to go ahead and try to find my way into listing that. Maybe it won't end as one of the top ones, but that's on the list.
All right. I'm going to go with one that is completely counter to what Alex was trying to do on the last episode. Giving Kyle Lowry a 3-year contract. And I know it wasn't their preference. I know if they had things their way, they wouldn't have done that. But that was the cost of doing business there for two reasons. One, because there were other teams interested, like New Orleans, et cetera. I believe Philadelphia at the time. There was another, maybe it was Dallas. There were a couple of other teams that may have been willing to go close to what the Heat did or where the Heat went. But also, and this is going to, again, run counter to what a lot of fans think, you know, I think they lean too much on their star player's opinion on that. And it just didn't work out. Look, Alex is going to counter that. Well, they had that run where the guys were out during, what was it, the 21-22 season. And Kyle played a big role in there. And then he had some big playoff moments. I'm not arguing with that. But that's not what they were paying for. Like, they were paying for a guy who they thought was going to still be a top 10 to 15 point guard and was going to be happy here. And they even acknowledge, and even people around Jimmy acknowledge, he never was. Like, what I had heard was he liked the city of Miami, but it just wasn't a cultural fit with the organization. And, you know, when he kind of went back at Pat about the weight, about the conditioning thing and all that, you know, as someone told me, very high up at the organization, they said, yeah, he got in shape for his last season because he wanted another contract. Well, if you're paying a guy $90 million or whatever it was over 3 years, he should have gotten in shape at the very beginning. And so this is, again, when we start to talk about Jimmy Butler and how much you lean on him for decision making. You know, this is an organization that hasn't typically done that with its star. I mean, they didn't with Bron, I guess Shabazz Napier on the way out the door. But then they also got Josh McRoberts and Danny Granger on the way out the door for LeBron. And I remember, I will say this just flat out, Mike Miller texted me that day and goes, they did fucking what? You don't even like those guys. So that was, you know, so that's, you know, again, sometimes you listen to your stars, sometimes you don't. In this particular case, I understand why they did it, but it never clicked. And usually when they bring in a guy, whether it's Jimmy Butler or any of the free agents, Chris Bosh, guys they brought, Goran Dragic, like they have a sense of whether the guy's going to be a cultural fit for them. And Kyle Lowry was basically Dwayne Wade in Chicago. Like he never got past being in Toronto, and he never looked happy until he got to Philadelphia. So
yep.
something was amiss with that. So I'm going to say trading for Kyle Lowry and giving him the 3 years.
I'm going to take low hanging fruit and say the Avery Bradley, how could it be Mo Harkless offseason? That was a pretty rough one. And it was a condensed offseason.
What were they in on? I don't even remember. I mean, Harkless, when I'm talking to them about Harkless, like they're like, look, it was basically a minimum guy. You know, it's not a big deal. I think the problem was there was nothing else done and it was a condensed offseason. And so we built Mo Harkless up to be something he wasn't, like in the media. Like I remember Woj even tweeting that.
Oh, via tweet.
Well, yeah, I was like, okay, this is a good low budget addition. Boy, was he awful. Like just from the very start, like, did he have a basket? I can't even remember. He even started at the beginning of that season, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Like, was it one
that's
game
how they
and
positioned
then they went to Myers Leonard?
Woj even tweeted, like, he goes to Miami for less money to take a role as a key contributor. Like, they were pegging him as a starter, and then we saw how that went.
That must be one of Woj's agent sources that he was trying to correct. Take care of. We know how that goes. We know how that goes. All right. So we've got five, but I feel like we need more here. And again, this is harder. And I do think that speaks to the fact that, you know, I think people have made too much of the front office's mistakes. Although you could argue that the one that turns out being number one here may actually be a better number one than the one we came up with on the best decisions. This is a controversial one, but you put this one on here. So I'll nominate it. Should they have given Tyler Hero the extension in retrospect?
That's
kind of an open question.
Yeah. And the way that it was on Discord, check out Off the Floor, everybody. The way that it was positioned there was trade him before the extension. And I don't know that was so viable. Maybe it was, maybe you could have got something for him, but you'd had to combine him with another person's salary. And there's intricacies to that, but I just think overvaluing Tyler Hero in general is probably what a Heat fan would say is an overall theme that maybe the front office has held Tyler too close to the heart. Just a little bit.
It's not going to make my top five. I understand why some Heat fans feel like it should be on the list, but Tyler was given what players of his type were given at that time. If you remember, RJ Barrett was in that category. I think Anthony Simons was in that category. Desmond Bane ended up getting way more. By the way, you could throw not drafting Bane over Precious in there also, because both Bane and Maxey went after, and actually it was Bane that I wanted. And if you go back to the pre-draft episodes, and I don't follow a lot of college basketball, but I'm like, that looks like a Heat player. Like that looks like a Heat player. Like we talked about him extensively. So I'll throw that one in on that one. But I wouldn't put the Tyler thing in the top five. I guess when was Duncan's extension signed?
That was
during the Jimmy.
It was after that first season, right?
I believe so. So you could throw that in too. Although I think that most
it's
people
kind of flattened itself out.
Yeah, I think that they've batten away from that. All right, I'm going to go with one that I think actually Pat Riley would agree with because he spent his entire press conference on this. That internally, they let the culture slip again.
That's a big one.
If Pat's going to devote an entire press conference to it, then I think it belongs in the top five, right? Like, I remember the press conference before Jimmy came, right? Which was a combative one, too. I remember him going back at the beat writers. And he said, we let the culture slip, right? Then they brought in Jimmy Butler. They rebuilt the culture around Jimmy's uber competitiveness, right? Like, that's where they went with it. And it worked. I mean, that first season was magical in a lot of different ways, even with the struggles they had pre-COVID break. But then the way it built back up, you know, Jimmy pointing at Pat and the crowd, you know, up in Orlando and all the things that happened that year. But, I mean, it's something to say. The culture has slipped back in some ways because players are not playing enough. And I know they're doing their own deep dive on it. But you could argue that if the players were playing more, then Jimmy Butler's not in a play-in game and then doesn't get hurt in a play-in game. And maybe they would have seen Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals instead. I don't know that they would have made the finals anyway. But again, if they're going to mention it, I'm going to mention it. It was a miss. It's been a miss in terms of kind of recognizing, okay, you know, just because we have an ultra competitive guy in Jimmy, if he's not going to play a lot, the other guys are kind of not going to know what the deal is. Like, they take their cues from him at this point. And so I think they've let Jimmy get away with a little too much overall. And I think that's part of what this pushback was at this press conference. And it's not just availability. It's other stuff. We've talked about it that LeBron didn't get away with, that Jimmy's gotten away with. And I understand why they've done it. Because Jimmy's a volatile personality, and it's kind of touchy on how to get the most out of him, right? He's a contrarian, all this stuff, but clearly there's been some slippage there. Your turn.
Now we're starting to get dicey, and we're starting to have to split hairs. But I'll say, never replacing Bubble Gorin's production from a play type perspective. They never brought in another guy who did what Gorin did during that run. And I think that would have really helped the Jimmy Bam build going forward. That was, you know, you had different kinds of guards that had been shuffled in and out of here after Gorin. So to me, that would have been a big one to replace Goran Dragic after that bubble run with a player that put pressure on the rim, was as crafty as he was, found guys in their spaces and could hit shots. You know, he was great that entire run, and they never really got a player to play up to that level of production after that at the guard spot.
Well, they tried this trade deadline with Rozier. That's the closest that they've gotten. And then he showed some signs of it and then got hurt. But I'm with you overall. The other thing that kind of happened with Goran is that he injures his foot in the finals, and I think it just kind of snuck up on them a little bit, you know. He probably had more productive time left if that hadn't happened. Of course, he tried to play through it, and that didn't end up working out very well. But I'm with you in terms of just overall kind of rim pressure type stuff. They've struggled to find those guys. Rim pressure and athleticism and size, like those three things, have been problematic. Well, all of that together, right? So that's, and we kind of saw that. This year. Now, here I'll throw this, and then we're gonna actually debate these on the other side. I know the Heat fans are gonna listen to this. We're 18 minutes into this, and they're gonna be like, "Well, they missed all the guys they missed on, right?" They're gonna be like, "Missed on Dame." For some of them, missed on Beal. Again, I think they made the right decision there. Missed on Drew, if they want to say him. Missed on. There's a whole bunch of guys in that case. And I'm actually going to eliminate most of that because I'm not blaming them for Dame. Like, I'm not blaming them for not putting all the chips on the table at the beginning. I feel like the agent mismanaged it more than they did. I think that, and obviously they were not dealing with an honest broker on the other side. I'm never going to hold that against them. I'm sorry. I don't know what else they could have done with that. The Beal thing we've talked about, I think they made the right decision. Drew, if you look at it, and I know they had interest there, but like, and I know that Jimmy had interest there. But if you had gotten Drew, Like, he has not been great in the postseason offensively. And as much as he is still a very good defender and he's a great team guy, you want to pay him that kind of money going forward? Like, he can't be your third offensive. Like, no. Drew is your third guy with Jimmy and Bam. I mean, you're just doubling down on defense, but you're not solving your rim pressure ish, any of those kind of issues, three-level scoring, not with Drew Holiday at this stage of his career. So I don't have a problem with that one. And again, others that they missed on, like people are going to talk about, like Porzingis. Yeah. Nobody was really calling for that. I tweeted that in Washington, if you're going to go after one of the two of them, I have the receipts on this, go after Porzingis, not Beal. But I didn't hear a lot of other people saying that. And I didn't really suggest a way for them to get it done. So Boston made a good trade. Like, that's fine. But is there a miss that jumps out to you enough from a free agent or trade perspective that you would say, and they haven't had a lot of free agent options, but that you would say, okay, this should be in the top five.
Not should be in the top five. They missed on Josh Hart. They could have gotten Josh Hart a couple times and they didn't get him. And I know that that's small. And again, we're going around the margins here.
Right.
He would have been a great addition along the way. But again, I'm splitting hairs. Like, they Heat fans, I think, generally are going to say they missed on Dame. But that's not fair to them. Maybe they could have came in with a all-in offer from the get-go, but that's not how you negotiate. So I do think Heat fans feel like they've been left at the altar by a couple superstar pursuits recently. And so that's going to get flagged here probably by some fans. But I agree with you that we need to exit that from the conversation. I don't think that should make the top five.
Yeah, I there's not the Dame one I'm not putting on there. But I'm just trying to think of who else it could have been. I mean, then you have Heat fans. Well, they could have had Kelly Oubre. They could have had Dennis Smith Jr. They could have had, a lot of them wanted Christian Wood, who did nothing this past year. There's a lot of minimum guys that they could have gotten, but some of those were tied to Dame coming. So, you know, they weren't going to add Oubre without him. And then, you know, the other thing that people are going to talk about, okay, is some are going to say, okay, you missed on not keeping Gabe. I mean, that doesn't really look like a miss at the moment. I kind of feel like Gabe's going to end up back in Miami on a minimum at some stage of his career. People are going to say, well, the Josh Richardson move didn't work out that well, but I thought Josh played well enough for a minimum player. So I'm not going to, you know, we can always talk about the guy you didn't get, like what the opportunity cost is. But when you're talking about minimum guys, it's kind of like, you know, and the other thing, okay, here's the other thing that people will say. So I have to throw it out there. Not just because this is the overriding theme. This is not just the acquiring the star, not going all in on Jimmy and paying the second apron and paying over the second apron and spending that money. And what I'll say to you, Greg, is somebody needs to tell me what the move was that was going to put them into the second apron that was worth it. It was available and worth it at the time. And nobody has told me that. They just say, like, well, they won't spend money. Oh, on what? Like,
right now the wave is Kyrie, which is completely ridiculous and revisionist history. It's like crazy. Yeah, but they don't remember time and score at that moment.
At that moment. I mean, that was the controversial thing to do. And if someone has a particular political view, I know that they may say, well, why didn't you take a chance on him? And it's a reason that this ownership didn't want to take a chance on him. And I've heard all of that stuff. And some of it gets, you know, laced in a little bit of, no, I don't want to say bigotry, but it gets laced in some prejudice. Okay. And so I don't want to even get into that, because I don't, again, there was not a groundswell for Kyrie at that point. There was a groundswell for Harden at certain points. Now, would that have made sense? I don't know. He played reasonably well in the Clippers. It sort of amounted to nothing again. So I'm just, again, for people listening to this podcast and they get irritated at us for not, like, killing them for not spending and not going and getting stars, I again want to ask, what were the opportunities to get stars, and what were the chances to spend that they didn't take? I sort of feel like, and I don't want to bang on our guy Trilly too much, but I sort of feel like Heat Twitter just like he just does jersey swaps, and then it's like, oh, after he does that, okay,
yeah, the pitchforks well, come out.
Pitchfork, and it's like, okay, but it didn't make sense to go get that guy in the first place. You know, I mean, like, I remember him putting out the stuff on Zach LaVine. Like, okay, does anybody want to pay that contract for Zach LaVine? Is that worth limiting your flexibility in the second apron? It's just, it's not. So we're trying to get a little bit more specific here. All right, what we are going to try to do is narrow this down to five. So we'll do that here in a second. I do want to tell you about a couple of great sponsors, the Five Reasons Sports Network. Prize Picks. Use the code 5FIVE. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100. It is legal again in the state of Florida. Play the lineup game. We're going to do shows for every game in the NBA Finals. Okay. So I know some of you don't want to watch. It's Mavericks, Celtics. It's kind of lesser of two evils. So at least win money. Use the code 5FIVE. Get your initial deposit matched up to $100. Also check out Better Edge. Excuse me. Better Edge is a social betting marketplace. What makes it different from the sports books is you don't pay a VIG. And you can find the line that you want. So a lot more flexibility, and they don't take money from you for nothing. Legal in 45 states, including the state of Florida. Check out betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. And again, you get $20 to play when you do so. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the way it handled. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard. So better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. Harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
All right, so let's start to narrow here, all right? Let's start eliminating, all right? Here's what I've got. Drafting Precious over Maxi. Overall aversion to size, which is a little... It's kind of what I'm saying. It's not so nuanced. It's kind of bigger picture, but whatever. Yeah. Bringing the same team back after the Dame saga. Training for Kyle and giving him 3 years and listening to Jimmy. Bringing in Avery Bradley and Mo Harkless. I mean, even that, I think they would just laugh at now. Avery Bradley, like, people were heralding that move. I will say that. Not trading Tyler before you extend him. Not trading Duncan before you extend him or giving him the extension, either way, letting the availability culture slip over the course of the build, not replacing Goran's production, missing out on Dame and other mystical, magical, imaginary stars, and not going into the second apron. Eliminate two for me here. We'll go two at a time.
Let's go ahead and eliminate the not going into the second apron. That's complete garbage. Also not going and getting the superstars. That's gone.
Okay. So we've got those two. All right. So my turn. I'm going to take the Duncan extension off the list.
Smart.
I mean, they're paying him what you pay a shooter of his type. Now, hopefully the back heals and he either becomes as productive as he was for them earlier this season or they're able to move him. And again, we'll see how that goes. So I'm taking the Duncan extension off. And I'm going to take the Tyler extension off. I just, that was the going rate. And it's not like the guy has been unproductive. He's improved every year. Marginally, but he's improved every year. So I'm want to take that one off. All right, so now what we've got left, not replacing Goran's production, drafting Precious over Maxi, aversion to size, bringing the same team back after the Dame saga, trading for Kyle Lowry and giving him 3 years, Avery Bradley, Mo Harkless offseason, and letting the availability culture slip.
Oh, man. Let's get Avery Bradley and Mo Harkless out of there.
Yeah, there just wasn't really much to do, honestly, looking back at it. All right, I'm with you on that. All right, so now my turn. I'm going to go with the Goran. I like the Goran production one. But again, I think they were blindsided by kind of, they tried to replace his production. And this is why I'm not eliminating this one. They tried to replace his production with Kyle Lowry.
Correct. Right?
Unfortunately, Kyle didn't drive past the 3-point line anymore. He just kind of passed and pointed. And then I don't know. I'm not really sure what he did after that. So I'm gonna take off the not replacing Goran's production because.
So you're not letting the Kyle Lowry one get out of the top five, right?
So you can. It's your turn. We've got how many we got left? We're down to five right now, actually. So
if you dig your heels in there, I have one that I'll dig my heels in, and that's letting the culture and the availability slip. That has to make the top five.
No, you're not going to get an argument for me on that. So you can eliminate one. Now, drafting Precious over Maxi, bringing back the same team after the Dame saga.
Bringing back the same team.
Okay, now you know they're going to argue they didn't.
Yeah.
You know that.
That's why I want to get rid of it, because it's more of a sound bite that's floated around other than reality.
Right, but it is number five on our list, which again tells you that there has been an overreaction, I think, from the fan base here a little bit. But okay, because they will say, no, I mean, Jovic played. We brought in Hakez. Kevin Love wasn't in training camp the year before. We let Max go. We let Gabe go. We brought in Josh Richardson. We brought in Thomas Bryant, for better or worse. Like, they will say this was not the same team. But for the purposes of this discussion, it's number five. All right, then I'm going to say number four is the aversion to size, which I suggested. And they'll probably argue that, no, we tried. I mean, we tried with Thomas Bryant. We tried with Zeller, with Dedmon. But I'm talking, again, more about functional size of the overall roster. It's not just about a backup five. You know, there are not a lot of great backup fives, and they sort of turned Kevin Love into that, and he was a pretty damn good backup five for them. But I'm just talking about the overall roster. Like, they just look small all the time. They look small all the time. And so I'll say that's number four. So we're down to three. Drafting Precious over Maxi, letting the availability slip during the, it's starting with Jimmy, but with others, training for Kyle and giving him 3 years. You get to eliminate one. Well, not eliminate, which is going to be number three.
Three will be Kyle because Jimmy asked for him and they listened to their superstar.
Okay, fair. By the way, that might be. Yeah, I had a top three. I could have gone any of the top three. And so I'm gonna flip this up now, since I guess I get to make the final decision.
Yeah.
Two choices are letting the availability culture slip and drafting Precious over Maxi. Look, there's no question. Tyrese Maxey, Desmond Bane would have absolutely changed the trajectory of this thing. But Tyrese Maxey was drafted 21st. Okay. This is not like one team missed, two teams missed. They all missed. And by the way, I've been told over and over, this was not a clutch thing. They will bring in a clutch player. I know everybody says that's not true. They haven't done it. And all of that, but I have been told, no, if the we deal with all kinds of agents, we don't have a problem with clutch. Okay, that's what they will say. All right. But I can't make the worst decision, something where, again, we're talking about two guys picked in the 20s. And also you had Tyler Hero at the time. So I get it. We could talk about Maxi or Quickly. I mean, obviously Kentucky guards, okay, that, you know, and they've had success with Kentucky guards. But when you're talking about an organization that is hit on Bam, hit on Tyler, hit on Hakez, seems to have hit on Jovic, like all 13 or lower, but 13 down to 27, they miss one guy. I mean, and it's not like Precious is like a useless NBA player. He's basically played to his draft spot. I mean, he's on what now? His third team. he's okay. Like, he's not going to. Now, I think their mistake on this, I remember asking Riley about it after the draft, and I said, how much can he and Bam play together? And it seemed like that was not really a plan. He's like, well, we think they can do it. Like, you don't, I mean, you're not there to draft Bam's backup or Bam's clone, okay? And it kind of felt like that. Whereas with Hawkins and Jimmy, it's like, okay, yes, Hawkins has a lot of Jimmy-like qualities, but I think we felt, okay, they probably could play together. And I don't know that and they did last year, but with Precious and Bam, we never saw it consistently. And, you know, and then of course they included Precious with Dragic to get Lowry, which is fine. And now Precious not even there, but I can't make that number one. So to me, if Pat believes it, I believe it. I mean, this is an organization that for better or worse, guys played. Okay. And we can talk about how it's league wide or all this. And it started with San Antonio and it's trickled down, but like, they haven't always done what the league has done, right? And I think now there's a recognition of it. And I think Pat gave voice to it. And I think he's also speaking most likely for ownership and others in the organization that, like, okay, absolutely, get your asses on the floor, right? So yeah. I think maybe I'm wrong, okay? And maybe they'll tell me I'm wrong. I think if they went through our list, first thing, they'd probably argue with three quarters of them. But if they went through our list, I think they'd pick the same number one.
I think because you're right.
Right? Yeah. They're saying it right now.
We're taking our cues from them in this particular instance.
Right. So to me, that's number one. That's number one, and that needs to change this year. So whatever studies they're doing on it, okay, and however they need to motivate guys where they don't have just two playing 71 games, okay, and one of them is a rookie who shouldn't be playing 75. That's the guy who hit the wall this year, Hawkins, okay? Like that. So I know he's got young legs and all that, but, like, if you know, Bam at 71, Bam always tries to push through, and Duncan probably would have gotten into the 70s, but it needs to change overall, and I think they've hit it. So our top five worst decisions or worst, you know, outcomes or whatever, and again, the transaction groups are going to hate this podcast because they're going to point to all the guys they missed, but we're going to say letting the availability culture slip, number one. Number two, drafting Precious over Maxey. It has to be up there. I just don't think it's number one. Trading for Lowry, giving him 3 years when they, you know, it didn't seem like they got him to buy in. Aversion to size overall, and then also something they will definitely disagree with, bringing back the same team after the Dame saga. So everybody start texting me now on both sides. I know we're getting that. All right. Greg's going to be taking a few days off. Alex and Brady, I don't know where the heck they are, so we'll find them this week. We'll also be bringing on others. One thing we're going to do this week, too, is we've got a new Orlando Magic podcast. No, we're not killing our Heat coverage. We're just expanding a little bit. One of the things we're going to do is bring them on sometimes to just talk about the two teams in the state of Florida. So we're going to talk about who is better positioned for the future, the Magic or the Heat. We'll bring on Jonathan Ramlakhan and his crew early in the week. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.